live from Lexington, Kentucky, the Bottom Line Sports Rocker Podcast, ready for week number two. Adjacent to me, the one, the only, Brad Taylor.
Thank you very much. Thank you, sir.
From ESPN 1300 Sports Radio and Beer Man from Classic Rock 92.1. My name is Dead Air Dennis. Strap yourselves in. It's time for the overconfidence reaction to week one. Brad Taylor.
Hey, buddies.
Overreaction theater. That's what we usually call week two as we go at week one. What did we learn from week one? Because the favorites, 10-5-1 straight up, but only 8-8 against the spread. Road teams, 9-6-1 straight up, 9-7 against the spread. Home dogs, 2-6-1 straight up, but 5-4 against the spread. Did we learn anything, Fear Man?
I have discovered that as long as they get a foot and a half of rain every time, the Bears are unstoppable.
There you go. I've learned that I don't know crap about football.
You learned that, or some of us kind of knew that from the start, but that's okay.
You're always going to hold the first season against me. Until you beat me, you should just keep your comments to yourself.
There was a clerical error in that first season. Neither here nor there. Unders.
It's here and there. It's documented, son.
Unders went 11-5, including 3-0 in all the primetime games, and your Cincinnati Bengals fell victim to the Super Bowl hangover. Super Bowl losers now 4-19 against the spread week one of the following season. Your thoughts on the Bengals week one?
You know, it was just a mess, wasn't it? I mean, just an absolute disturbing, disgusting, painful, sad mess. But, you know, other than that, the Bengals played as well as you can play after you turn the ball over 5 or 6 times. And it just goes to show you the importance of a place kicker in the game. You know, these guys that you don't...
A long snapper.
Yeah. You would never buy their jersey. You don't know who their names are. And you don't pay them a second glance until they're not there or until they screw up.
As far as the Bengals go, I don't think that was a Super Bowl hangover. I thought that was a Joe Burrow didn't practice at all in the preseason, had the appendectomy and stuff like that, was rusty.
Yeah, absolutely.
But the sad part is you throw 4 interceptions, that's almost always a guaranteed loss. And realistically, you probably should have won that game with 0 seconds left on the clock. But like you said, the long snapper's not there, not a good hike, and they're not able to get the
so many ways they lost that game. I mean, Jamar Chase was in with the ball over the goal line.
Yeah.
And they didn't challenge it. They had the ball on the 1-inch line. They thought they could score the touchdown. They were panicking. They were rushing to get the ball up on the line and snap it. And, you know, they should have gone back and looked at that play. Then they missed the extra point, and then they missed the field goal. How many ways can you lose a game? Well, apparently a lot.
Yeah.
So the Bears, Beer Man, touchdown underdogs, they're 1-0. The Bengals, touchdown favorites, they're 0-1.
Mm-hmm.
Did we see this coming in the first week, or is that's just karma? Kind of all the insults we gave to the Beer Man about the Bears in week one, coming back to haunt us, so to speak.
Here's my thing with the Bears: there was so much rain in that game that is not indicative of any kind of football game whatsoever. I don't think you can judge Trey Lance on that. I don't think you can judge the Bears very much on that. We're going to see more of both of those teams this coming weekend.
I think that's accurate.
How'd your bets do this weekend, boys?
I didn't.
You didn't?
I did not.
You did not. Even those 5-1 picks that I sent you and did on this show, that you didn't go with those? Hey,
I didn't bet this weekend. I'm sorry. Are you disappointed in me?
Well, I'm always disappointed in you, but even more when you don't bet, you know, because it's like the less you bet, the more you lose when you win. If you think about it, you Beer Man.
My 3 favorite bets of the week were 3 unders and 1 over, and I hit all 4 of those.
There you go.
Missed every parlay, and then there was a couple where I felt confident, like the Colts over the Texans that didn't pan out, the Saints over the Falcons. You know, I missed a handful of those, but –
I'm glad I did.
Over-unders, that was great.
Yeah. I'm glad I didn't bet my bets because one of my favorite bets last week in our recap was San Francisco beating Chicago and New Orleans over the spread of against Atlanta. So, you know, my picks were not very good last week.
Well, the good thing about this week is we get a chance to kind of come back to the field, so to speak. We now can make up for our losses from last week. We can now come back to the gambling field. We can now do things we were too scared to do last week. Is that what? Were you scared, or you just didn't want to?
I don't like betting week one anyway.
Okay.
I mean, I
love week one.
Do you?
I love week one.
Not me. Not here.
I feel like Vegas doesn't know that. That's the gap between me and Vegas in week one is as small as it's going to be all year.
I've got 50% of the people in the Survivor contest worldwide who wish that they had bet.
Over 50% after that. We talked about that Circa Survivor pool out in the desert, 6,100 people. 3,500 are out of that, and that's $1,000 a hit. How would you like to have $1,000 and all you got is a little snapback baseball cap to show for your $1,000 after 1 week?
There's a guy that I follow on social media, and he does a video, and he's like, I cannot believe I did this. He said, I went to the machine. I thought I clicked the Bengals in the Survivor pool. Somehow it ended up on the Jets. He's like, I'm even up at the desk trying to say, is there any way we can get this changed? And they were like, no. He goes, so I dropped another $1,000 and took the Bengals. So he lost $2,000 out of that Circa pool.
Ah, the Survivors. It gets the best of all of us at some point. So let's get out of the rearview mirror now. I know you guys make fun of me when I say this. We can't live in the rearview mirror. We've got to live through the windshield. So let's go to the Bengals. We'll start with the Bengals first. The Bengals going to Dallas. Last week, weekend, Dallas was a 2.5-point favorite here. Now, as we sit today, the Bengals are a 7.5-point favorite. Dak Prescott must be worth a lot of points. Can the Bengals cover that big 7.5 number down in Dallas? Dead air, Dennis Dillon.
I'm calling for the cover. I'm sticking with my team. I'm going with the Bengals in this game. I think that Cincinnati goes with a real chip on their shoulder. I mean, and they should. As long as Joe Burrow is cleaned up, you know, they'll cover this, I think, and they'll run away with it. The Cowgirls, yeah, I just don't. Did you see the game against Tampa? And they looked terrible. They looked every bit as bad as Arizona looked against Kansas City. And you know, we called that one. You and I both did in the preseason. The drama was going to beat down the Cardinals. I think the Cowboys essentially have the same backstory going on year after year after year. They always find ways to manufacture drama, and now they don't have a quarterback. So the defense did not look very good. The offense looked pathetic. I'm taking the Bengals, giving up the points.
So we record this thing on Wednesday.
Yes.
This is the only game I've already put money on because I feel that great about it. My favorite bet of the week is the Bengals to cover against Cooper Rush's Dallas Cowboys.
Would you guys think that I was crazy for taking the Cowboys and those points this week?
No.
What? Offensive line is atrocious. You're playing with a backup quarterback. Mm-hmm. You've got a mad Cincinnati team.
Mm-hmm.
Justify Dallas.
I'm going against the public. I'm getting a lot more value in this game, and I know Cooper Rush is no Dak Prescott, but is he worth 10 points to the point spread, Dak Prescott? I'm not so sure. Dallas humiliated on national TV last week. It's kind of the old betting against the public. When everybody saw Dallas for what they were last week, terrible. They might have been the worst team in football last weekend.
Jets.
And they don't have – well, that might be one too. But now they don't have their quarterback. Kind of a – rallying the troops, kind of circling the wagons. You're going to give me 7.5? I'm going to take Dallas. One of my best bets of the week is Dallas getting the 7.5.
7.5 tells me that Vegas...
they're leading you to the water.
No, listen, I'm against you on this one. I am. The Bengals were more embarrassed than the Cowboys. Well, I don't know that that's accurate. The Bengals were just as embarrassed as the Cowboys.
I don't think they were.
And I don't believe in the home field advantage for Dallas.
Nope.
I think that... I mean, look at that game last week. Pittsburgh had 13 first downs. The Bengals had 32. Pittsburgh's net yards, 267. Cincinnati, 427. Third down conversions, 4 for 12, I think, for Pittsburgh. 8 for 16 for the Bengals.
Cincinnati outgained them 150 yards.
This is crazy.
So, but, I mean, this is nothing more than value and going against the public. I know Cooper Rush is, you know, Cooper Rush, but this is nothing more than getting a lot of value in a team that looked awful on national TV last
night. If you were to give Dallas Dak in this game and Cincinnati still had to cover 7.5, I would take Cincinnati.
Really?
Yeah.
Ooh, okay. I'm taking the Cowboys. One of my best bets of the weekend. We're riverside-ing each other on this one. Let's start with a Thursday night game now.
Ugh.
Kansas City is at home against the Chargers. Justin Herbert, Patrick Mahomes. Line is 4. Chiefs are a 4-point favorite. Total of 54 in this one. Fear man.
This, in reality, I would stay away from this game, but these are probably two of the best teams after week one. And I think it's a field goal game. I don't know which direction it's going to go, but if you're giving me the Chargers in 4, I think it's going to be within 3, so I'm going to take Chargers in the points.
I'm with him. I think Kansas City wins by a field goal as well. Listen, the Chargers are they're for real. And gone are the days of them choking on final field goal attempts.
I don't know about that.
I think they're on their way out. I really do. I think the Chargers are have something built up there, and I think they've got the right kid at quarterback. And I don't think Patrick Mahomes even broke a sweat last week, which may be good, but in my opinion, I don't think that's a good thing. I don't think they had to put up a fight last week. I think this week they get a real fight, and I'm taking the Chargers in the points.
Last 4 times the Chargers have gone to KC, they have covered the spread, and they had 5 sacks, 3 interceptions last week. But then again, this is Patrick Mahomes coming off a great game against Arizona last week. Slight lean to the Chargers, maybe with Bierman, but I'm looking maybe at possibly taking the under here. A little bit of wind activity. We're seeing a total of 54, and a lot of people on both of these offenses. You don't think defense with these teams. I would lean under in this game for the Thursday night game.
So we all 3 agree.
Pretty much, which is always a thing to go against, history tells us. All right, let's go to the Sunday games. Miami Dolphins with Tua. Baltimore Ravens with Lamar Jackson. Ravens a 3.5-point favorite. Total 44.5 did Air Dennis.
Again, what did Baltimore have to do to beat Joe Flacco last week? Not a whole lot. And I don't think they looked that good in doing it. I think Lamar, there's something wrong with Lamar. He's not the same guy, and he's not that old.
I thought he looked great.
Did you think he looked great? I haven't
3 deep passes that were right on the money.
Were they?
Oh.
Okay, confession time. I've only seen the stat line, but I just didn't think that – I wasn't impressed by it. Is J.K. Dobbins back this week?
No, J.K. Dobbins is out for several weeks.
I thought he was – I read somewhere where he was going to be back this week.
He's not back as of now. As of Wednesday, he's not back. So.
Yeah, okay. You know, Lamar did find the DuVernay kid on a couple of passes, which is something that he hadn't done last year in the past. So, I don't know. Something makes me want to take go against Baltimore here. I think Miami might have something going on. I not been a big believer. I'm taking the Dolphins.
Baltimore, for what it's worth, is still beat up from last year. Mm-hmm. And I realize they're at home. I do feel like you get the better coach with Baltimore. I feel like you get the better quarterback with Baltimore. But that's about it. I'll take the receiving crew in Miami. I'll take the defense down in Miami.
Again, yeah, Miami has just – I think that was going to be a point that I was going to make. Miami has just as many playmakers as Baltimore.
I kind of think they're all in to a degree this year. Mm-hmm. They're trying to figure out if Tua is legit, if he's going to stay in this league or not. Much like Kansas City and L.A., I feel like this is a field goal game. And again, you go over that 3 points, I'm going to take the points. So I'm going to go with Miami in this game.
Slight lean to Baltimore here for me. They kind of, last week, Baltimore beat the Jets pretty bad. They were up 24-3 before it got crazy at the end. And don't forget, last year, Miami just absolutely slaughtered Baltimore down in Miami on a short week with last year, right at the end of the season. This might be a revenge game for Baltimore. We'll take the Ravens, and we'll lay the points in this one. Next game, speaking of the Jets, the New York Jets with Joe Flacco at quarterback, again, goes to Cleveland, who came off a win against Carolina. Jacoby Brissett, 5.5-point favorite of the Browns, total 40. Dead Air Dennis.
Give me the under. I don't like over-unders, but I don't like betting those totals, but... I think this is one of those Browns on the ground games, and we know what Joe Flacco does through the air. He's got some receivers. They've got some players there, but, you know, on defense, I mean, that's a real sketchy defense for the Jets. I think Cleveland wins and covers.
props to calling the under on that game. I completely agree. The Jets are completely inept. Even with Zach, they're not going to be much. Cleveland's defense is still as real as it was the last couple years, probably one of the best two or three in the game. I don't think the Jets score much at all, maybe not even in garbage time. Yeah, I'll take Cleveland minus 5.5 before they get to the meat of their schedule.
I'm going to Riverside you both with a best bet. I'm taking the Jets in the 5.5 here. Joe Flacco may not even be quarterbacking this team second half. Mike White, the kid from Western Kentucky, who lit up the Bengals last year. He's going to be coming in at some point in this game. There's rumors that he might even be better than Zach Wilson. They're just too scared to play him because they don't want to admit that they made a mistake on Zach Wilson. I'm taking the Jets in the 5.5 here. I'm not so sold on the fact that the Browns are so good just because they beat Carolina, one of the worst teams in the league. So,
offensively, they're still finding their way. Defensively, it's still a strong squad.
Yeah, I'll take those 5.5. It's one of my best bets of the weekend.
I was impressed with the Mike White kid. I was wondering when his name was going to come up, and you're the first person I've heard bring it up this year. Have you seen or heard anything?
I've read some things this week that he might be playing this week because Flacco was so inept last week. And like I said, they're scared. They don't want to admit they made a mistake because they did with Sam Darnold. They've done it with Zach Wilson now, two guys they drafted second overall. They looks like they've swung and missed on both of them. They don't want to admit that some guy off the streets is better than these two guys they put all this money into.
Right, for the second time. I fully agree with your statement there. Fully agree. I think that it's a point of pride, and they're just hoping they don't have to go back to the
Sometimes
kid.
Sometimes we can't admit that we're wrong in life, and that's when you get in trouble and you do things you shouldn't do to cover it up. Washington and Detroit. Carson Wentz against Jared Goff. Now, there's a matchup for the ages. Detroit, for the first time in 25 games, is a favorite. Minus 1.5 at home over Washington. Bierman.
Defense is going to be good in this game for Washington. Offense should be good in this game for Detroit. Something's got to give. It's becoming an offensive league. Detroit, I don't think, is a bad team. I think they circled this game and said this is very winnable, and I think they go out and win this game and cover. I'll take the Lions.
What's the line now?
Line is Detroit, 1.5-point favorite, total 48.5.
I'll take Detroit to win and cover. They're coming off of a tough opponent. They put up a real fight. I think the fight is real within them, and I think they have the home field advantage, and I think they like it. And I agree with Bierman. They've had this game circled for sure.
Washington didn't really look that good last week, although they won. This is the spot for Detroit. They put up a lot of points last week on Philly.
On a defense that was supposed to be one of the top 10 defenses in the league.
Philly, though, was up big before Detroit started scoring. I didn't get to watch the game. It wasn't on. But it is one of those, how much was Philly just kind of coasting a little bit in that one? But I still have faith in Detroit.
Yeah, I'll slight lean for Detroit for me here too. Next game, Indianapolis Colts traveling down to Jacksonville. Matt Ryan, 4-point favorite over Trevor Lawrence. Total 46, Dennis.
Two teams that underperformed last week. Right? Indy wins and covers. At least if they don't do it this week, they'll do it next week. I think Indianapolis is still a project. I think Matt Ryan is still getting comfortable. I'm not a huge believer in Matt Ryan, but I think that, you know, a new quarterback usually signals a lot more changes than the public perceives. I'm thinking this is going to be the game where Indy at least gets it better together, wins and covers.
I think even in the loss last week, Jacksonville was kind of like things are coming together. They couldn't quite put it all together, but I feel like they're going the direction that they want to go.
But how long have we been saying that?
Well, no, but I mean, you know, you got Trevor Lawrence, and I think even Trevor's finding his guys, stuff like that. Mm-hmm. Indy, I think, is sitting there going, how in the hell did we just tie against Houston?
Yeah.
And Jacksonville could look at it. Hey, we beat Indy last year when they had everything on the line. I think they got a little confidence. I'll take the Jags in this game.
Divisional underdog, that's Jacksonville. And the Colts are 0-7 against the spread their last seven trips to Jacksonville.
Yeah.
I'll take a little lean to Jacksonville. Not a best bet, but it's I would feel good about taking Jacksonville, getting the 4 points in this one. Next game, here we go. Tampa Bay, New Orleans. Tom Brady, a 2.5-point favorite over Jameis Winston. 44.5 total, Dennis.
Same thing as the last story, right? I mean, Indianapolis is still looking for that revenge win after all these games that they've played down there in Jacksonville. New Orleans has exhibited a strong degree of success over Tampa Bay, regardless of who's behind quarterback and the fact that they've had there have been good Tampa Bay teams in the past. New Orleans always plays them well. They got the new coach this year, so that's yet to be seen how that's going to play out. They certainly didn't look well, strong, healthy against Atlanta. They struggled, but I think I got to take New Orleans in the points.
I think New Orleans went into week one against Atlanta, listening to what everybody said about Atlanta this year. They were already looking forward to this week, which is, you know, you shouldn't do in the NFL, but they're going to be ready for this game. They're strong in the defensive front. Tampa Bay is weak in the offensive front. I'm going to take New Orleans in this game. I'm going to buy a half a point to get it to 3 just to be on the safe side. But that's the direction that I'm leaning.
I don't want the points. I don't need the points.
Whoa.
New Orleans, straight up winner. We're going points and money line here. Like you said, the defensive lines for the Saints have always dominated Tampa since Tom Brady's gotten there. 5 games between the Saints and Tom Brady with Tampa. The Saints have won 4 of those 5. This one's in New Orleans, coming off that great game last week where we thought, oh, Tampa looks like $1 million. And New Orleans, they barely got by Atlanta. Love in New Orleans. My pick of the week here, Saints. Don't want the points, beer man. There you go.
I love the call. I really do. I think the Saints learned their lesson in week one, and I don't think Tampa Bay learned anything. It's going to be one of those games. You can see it reversed. Yep.
Next game.
So we all agree again?
No, I'm all over the Saints. I called a money line shot. I went.
Did you take New Orleans?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Then yes, we all agree.
Carolina and the Giants. Baker Mayfield and Daniel Jones. The Giants, a 2-point favorite here. I don't think it would have been a 2-point favorite. They played this game a week ago. It's amazing how 1 week changes everything, Beer Man.
I don't like this game. I don't want to watch this game. There's nothing about this game that excites me.
Hang on, let me make a phone call. Yeah, can we get that game canceled?
Yeah. Matt Rhule is still coaching for his job. You know, I like Baker. It was a hard loss last week against a decent team. Christian McCaffrey is still relatively healthy. Brian Daboll's just having a blast. I'm going to take Carolina, but I don't love it.
Yeah, I'm taking the Giants. I just feel like they're ready to go. Listen, they look pretty good. Yeah, no, I think I'm going Giants in this. No discussion.
I hate this game, but I think I'm with the Beer Man. I would take the Panthers and the points in this one. I just don't think the Giants are that good. Are we sure they're that good after what we saw last week at Tennessee? I'm not a big believer in the Titans either. So it's the kind of thing where did they really beat a great team last week in Tennessee? Yeah, I'm not so sure. So I'm taking the Carolina Panthers the slightest of leads to Carolina getting those points. Next game, here we go. New England and Pittsburgh. Mac Jones is going to play this week. He's had some injury issues. He's a 2-point favorite over MVP Mitch Trubisky and the Steelers. Dennis, total 40 here.
A total of 40. Yeah, take the under. Yeah, Pittsburgh gets 5 turnovers and scores 6 points on offense last week. No thanks. I'm taking New England. I don't like it. It's fishy as hell. But when I first saw the line that the game was going to be in Pittsburgh and that the Patriots, after putting up only 7 points in week one, was giving up 2 points, I think. What is the line now?
2.
Yeah, still? Okay. Yeah, I'm taking the Patriots. I'm giving up the points. It's fishy.
No T.J. Watt.
Right.
Mitch Trubisky is your quarterback. Bill Belichick typically doesn't lose in back-to-back weeks, and that includes the last couple of years with, you know, not Tom Brady. I love this game. I love the Patriots in this situation. This is typically one that they do not lose. If Pittsburgh had lost last week, I feel like it would be more competitive. The fact that they won, they're on a little bit of a high. New England's a little bit pissed. You don't get beat like just hood stomped and then come back and lay another
hoodie
egg.
Hoodie stomped.
But so, yeah, I'll take New England, and it's probably my favorite, second favorite bet of the week.
Dead Air Dennis, fast trivia.
Pew, 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 pew. We need a sounder.
Name the year the last time the Patriots started off 0-2.
The year that Brady came in, the first year, when Bledsoe got hurt, 2001.
2001 is correct.
Because I remember. I remember. That's 21 years ago.
So you think Mac Jones is going to lose this? Then they're going to go to the Super Bowl later this year?
Go ahead, Brad. Your thoughts.
Oh, I'm sorry. Oh, we're on? Okay, yes. You know what? This is the game I'm staying far away from. No Brady, no Roethlisberger, first time since 2001.
Wow.
Yes, that's another pew-pew-pew-pew. Wow.
Sure.
Trivia fact of the day or whatever. New England only got 7 points last week. And Mac Jones, now he's a little injured. Boy, I don't want to – and like you said, though, you really think New England's going to go 0-2 to start this season?
Hey, if they lose this game, I truly think Belichick is phoning it in, which is what we talked about in the preseason. You know, putting a defensive coordinator as your offensive coordinator. If they lose this game, the Patriots are just going to be coasting through the year, and Belichick is either going to retire or be reassigned at the end of this year.
I would lean Steelers getting the points here, but this is not a game I want to touch on either side. And the under is a possibility here with both these teams.
I agree with that.
And both these quarterbacks. Let's go to the next game, the 4 o'clock games now. Atlanta and the Rams. The Rams are 0-1, but they're a 10.5-point favorite with Matthew Stafford over Marcus Mariota. Total 47.5, beer man.
Atlanta played the game of the year for them last week. L.A. has got to be a little ticked that they were somewhat embarrassed. Usually, if a great team gets embarrassed, they come back the next week and play unreal. I think that's what the Rams are going to do. It is a crazy amount of points to lay in the NFL, but I'm going to lay it and take the defending Super Bowl champs.
If Cordarrelle Patterson could run against the Saints in week one, he can do it against the Rams in week two. And guess what? Marcus Mariota can run too. And he didn't look bad. You know, the stat line was solid for Mariota. I am taking those points. I'm not believing in Los Angeles just yet. I mean, you got to show me something more than you showed me in that week game against the Bills.
Stafford, again, didn't play in the preseason. They said the record of quarterbacks that didn't play in the preseason in week one, they only won like they went like 3-8.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah. So, I mean, it's week two. You've got a full game under your belt. I think that bodes well for people like Stafford and Burrow and some of those guys.
Rams allowed 7 sacks last week. Falcons actually got 4 sacks last week. So we might be looking at some trouble for Stafford. But I will say this. This is a spot where the Rams probably should win this game pretty big. This is the type of game, though, in Atlanta. I would have to take the points and the Falcons here. But it's not one that I would rush to the window, if you know what I mean.
Yep. I know exactly what you mean.
But there's a lot of double-digit lines in these 4 o'clock games, and I really don't want any part of these dogs. Here's another one. Seattle, San Francisco, Geno Smith, my guy. 4-0 now against the spread as a starter for the Seattle Seahawks. He's now a 9.5-point underdog again to Trey Lance and the 49ers. Trey Lance looked like dog meat last week. How is he almost a double-digit favorite this week, Dennis?
I don't know, but I'm going to take him. I'm taking San Francisco. I'm giving up the points. I don't know why, honestly. You could use the last conversation we had, Beerman's last points about the Rams and what you said as well. Logic tells you that the Rams will be so much better this week. They'll be a lot more pointed and driven. And that the other team is coming off the big win and the hype. I'm just not buying it. Taking San Francisco, giving it up.
Everything about this game tells you that you should take Seattle. Trey Lance, it's going to be a heavy run game. Seattle is still pretty decent against the run. Pete Carroll, 4-0 in his last 4 against San Francisco.
Is that right?
Yeah. Okay. Something tells me...
Straight up?
Something tells me that Seattle, last week was their Super Bowl, to beat Russ coming back to Seattle.
Sure.
I think this is going to be the quote-unquote Super Bowl hangover game for Seattle. Everything points to them, the points and everything else. My gut tells me San Francisco covers. It's going to be a low-scoring game, though.
That's the point. That was their Super Bowl. Buy low, sell high. Everybody thinks, oh, Seattle might have something. But they spent it all last week. They wanted to stick it to Russell Wilson. That was their first home game of the season. Now they're going on the road. They're going to be exposed. Geno Smith will be exposed a little more for what he really is on the road. And the Niners will be exposed a little bit more, too, as maybe Trey Lance has a much better game at home. Giving his first start was on the road. That was a problem for him. I'm going to lay the points of the Niners here, but again, not one I would rush to the window for. Houston and Denver. Russell Wilson, first home game. He's a 10-point favorite over Davis Mills. Total 45, Bierman.
Again, you take a great team that loses a game that they shouldn't lose. The following week, they typically come out. They're focused. They're ready to go. You know, they put the future in Russell Wilson's hands. The coach, Nathaniel Hackett, admitted that he made a mistake by not going for it late in the game, screwing up the time. They're going to be as focused in this game as they're probably going to be all year. Houston, how in the world they tied Indy is still beyond me, but I'm going to take Denver and lay the points in this game.
I'm going to take Houston with the points, but I don't like it. I think that Denver's a hard place to go into and play. These two teams aren't – I don't believe they're very familiar with each other. I meant to go back and see what the history was between the two of them.
Denver on home games in their first four home games of the year, September, October, are next to unbeatable.
Yeah. Well, and I do believe that the team was embarrassed on Monday Night Football. I think the head coach was embarrassed. I think that there's a lot of explaining to do to the front office, but I think that I feel as though Denver's the right choice there.
Denver outgained Seattle by 200 yards on Monday night.
Yeah.
Houston was outgained by 200 yards against the Colts. So, but yet Houston tied and Denver lost. So, yeah. It's going to flip back over.
So Denver's going to have 400 more yards than...
Exactly. We're taking Denver, we're laying the points. We'd lay 40 in a spot like that. We're taking the Broncos and laying the points here. Arizona.
So we agree again.
You took Denver?
I took Denver. I changed. Yeah.
Oh, you changed. I thought...
No. Yeah, you were grabbing the points.
Yeah, I thought you were grabbing the points there.
Well, initially, that was going to be my bet.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
That's okay, flip-flopper. It's all right.
I'm flipping. Change.
Flip and flop. It's okay. Las Vegas and Arizona. Kyler Murray and Derek Carr. Vegas Raiders, 5.5-point favorite. Total of 51.5, Dennis.
5.5. That's crazy. Arizona decides to blitz Patrick Mahomes when, you know, the last two or three years we've learned that blitzing Patrick Mahomes is not the right thing to do. So, Arizona just is a mess. We talked about it in the preseason. We saw it in week one, and I'm going to stick with my guns on this one and take Las Vegas minus 5.5 points, which I don't like. But I do think Las Vegas is a good team, and I think they're playing hard. And I think they got a coach that they believe in. So, yeah, give me the Raiders.
Matt Rhule is the top pick to be fired. I think Cliff Kingsbury is the third choice to be fired first in the NFL. Arizona really did look inept. There was a stat that came out. There was a stat that came out that talked about the production from Kyler Murray when a new Call of Duty game comes out, and it was obvious. It was insane. I don't understand. Kyler Murray is one of those guys, and I said this in the preseason, I think he got his money, and within 2 years, I don't think he's going to be the quarterback in Arizona. They're going to dump him like Cleveland did Baker Mayfield. I'll take Vegas. I'll lay the points. And Arizona's going to have a long season.
How far are we off from seeing the Kyler Murray episode or whatever they call them edition?
Now, when I was in college, if they released a new Tecmo Bowl, I would have been sitting there all night long for days straight. I would have ignored everything. It was all about Bo Jackson and Tecmo Bowl back when I was a kid.
But you weren't making $50 million a year.
No, far from it.
It's an embarrassing situation, and we know it happens. I mean, who was the quarterback for Oakland back in the 5-7 years ago? Jamarcus Russell?
He was the running back, wasn't it?
Was it?
No, Jamarcus Russell was the number one pick that was probably the biggest bust in football.
He was the purple drank guy, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Remember what a bust that was? How terrible he was once he got his money?
He didn't even get his money. He got the rookie contract. That was it.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, because it happened in his first year.
Yeah, but back then it was different. So he got a lot of money.
Well, he was awful.
I need to look up how much money he made, but he had, $20 million easy. So he could drink that stuff the rest of his life. I totally agree with everything you guys said on Las Vegas. I'm taking Arizona the points in this one. It's simply, can they really be this bad? I can see Arizona losing this game by 3, maybe 4. But you're going to give me 5.5 and a team that can actually score points, maybe, if Kyler Murray gets off the video games and the purple drank. Maybe they can cover the spread. I'm taking Arizona here and the points. Let's go to Sunday Night Football, Beer Man. Bears undefeated. Justin Fields against the winless Green Bay Packers and Aaron Rodgers. Wait a minute. The Packers are 10-point favorites here. Total 42.5. How are the Bears undefeated and 10-point underdogs, Beer Man?
I said earlier, I don't think you can judge anything about Chicago off the Week 1 game. You just don't play games in a monsoon and expect to pull anything from that. But I do feel like they pulled a lot of confidence out of that game. The team gelled a little bit more. The offensive line surprisingly played really well against a defensive line in San Francisco that's really good. Mm-hmm. Do I think Chicago's going to win this game in Green Bay opening day for their opening home game? Probably not. But it's a division game. It's a rivalry game. I'm not laying double digits. I'm going to take the Bears.
I feel like this is the same equation we talked about earlier. This, where the Bears now have their Super Bowl hangover. They won their first week game. I do think it's crazy to think that Green Bay is a 10-point favorite when they didn't even score 10 points in the previous week. They scored 7 points last week, and they're a 10-point favorite this week. It's the NFL. It's crazy. It's mixed up. It's messed up. But I'm taking Green Bay and giving up the points.
Beer Man, what is Aaron Rodgers' career record against Chicago?
I think he owns somebody, doesn't he?
Yeah, I think
27 games they've played. How many?
Then he's lost 3.
He's lost 5.
He's lost 5.
22
sorry.
And 5.
Yeah.
So that's pretty good.
And yes. I think they've won the last 8.
It might be up there. By the way, the Bears were outgained by 130 yards last week.
Yeah.
In that slop against the 49ers. I'm laying the points with Green Bay here. I hate to say it, but I'm with Dennis on this one. Although they are the big division dog on the road, I hate to. But, I think this
Did you see how frustrated Rodgers was getting the fact that his receivers couldn't catch?
You know what he'll be getting now?
Check?
His peers' attention. His coach, because he's the coach there. And he's going to, and he will get the attention of the people around him for this game.
So one of the things that I've noticed, Aaron Rodgers, his offensive coordinators keep getting jobs and they're unsuccessful. Peyton Manning's offensive coordinators used to get jobs and they were unsuccessful. Tom Brady, same thing. We've got to quit in the NFL looking at, Peyton Manning's the offensive coordinator. Aaron Rodgers, the offensive coordinator. Tom Brady was the offensive coordinator. I don't know why those coaches still get jobs and are expected to be amazing.
When a running back misses a game in the NFL, the line may change a half point or so. When a quarterback misses a game, like Dak Prescott, completely flips. Mm-hmm. That tells you how important the quarterback is out in the desert. I'm taking the Packers in this one. 2 Monday Night Football games this week. First one, Tennessee, Ryan Tannehill going to Buffalo. 11 days off between game 1 and this game. Josh Allen is a 10-point favorite, total 49. Dennis?
Josh Allen, the number one selling jersey right now in the NFL. Tennessee covers. Buffalo wins. Titans defense is solid. Buffalo looks so good. They made a believer out of me watching that Thursday night game. I thought, oh, my God. I understand now why they are the Super Bowl favorite. I do. It made perfect sense. But, listen, 10 points is a lot, and I know a lot of people don't believe in Tennessee, but I like their coach, I like their defense, and I think they stick around in this game.
It's hard not to go against Buffalo. Tennessee was the number one seed in the AFC last year. It still makes zero sense to me. Buffalo has a tendency to lay an egg every so often. I don't think this is it. I don't know that there's a number out there that's going to scare me off. it's probably overreaction from week one, but yeah, Buffalo, and they're probably going to blow out the Titans, so I'll lay the 10.
I'm taking the Titans here. It's total overreaction theater because we all saw Buffalo just roll all over the defending Super Bowl champions, and we saw Tennessee, home favorites, lose to the Giants. Oh, they're terrible. The Titans must – Ryan Tannehill's overrated. Derrick Henry has lost it. Give me the points.
This might be one of my favorite bets of the week.
Give me those double-digit points at Tennessee here. I understand people who take Buffalo here. Like you said, I understand why they're the favorites to win the Super Bowl.
Kansas City 3-4 years ago when Mahomes was still young in that offense, they kept getting these high spreads, and Kansas City kept covering them. I feel like until they get used to what that team is, I think that's what we're dealing with Buffalo right now.
Remember the year New England went undefeated in the regular season and Brady and Randy Moss? They were playing to 20-plus point lines by midseason when they were undefeated because they were beating people so bad, and the public was just saying, I'll lay the 28 with the Patriots. That's what it was back then. That's how crazy it was. So, I don't think this is nearly on that level. But, yeah, eventually it catches up. I'm taking the Titans at the points, but I can totally see why people are on Buffalo. Last game, Monday night, Minnesota. Very impressive. Kirk Cousins travels to Philadelphia. Jalen Hurts, 2-point favorite of the Eagles, 51. I don't know who's up. Somebody take it.
I'll take it. Where was the Philadelphia defense? I mean, we talked about this briefly earlier. Philadelphia's defense supposed to be one of the better defenses in the league, giving Detroit 35 points. I mean, I just don't understand that kind of letdown. You know, it's the first game of the season. You're supposed to be amped up. You're supposed to be ready for this game. Coaches lined up, everybody in their positions, and nothing. I mean, 35 points to
I told you to take the over in that game, and I was huge on the over. Yeah. But keep in mind, I want to say Philly was up 35-10 before Detroit started scoring. The game was already in hand by halftime.
That was the MO for Detroit in a lot of games last year. They would be down by a lot, and then they come screaming back, and all of a sudden it's a little bit of a game. No, I'm taking Minnesota. I'm going to buy into Minnesota for a while, I think. I get the feeling that it's like I said in the offseason, you know, you had the teams that were quiet and all about their business, like Minnesota, and then you had teams that were all about the drama, like Arizona. And, so I'm taking Minnesota in this game.
This is an easy one to sit there and go, Kirk Cousins typically shies away in the spotlight. You've got a brand new coach, his first game on the road, coming off a huge win. But Minnesota's kind of my scary pick at making the Super Bowl. Philadelphia could be the number one seed. They're in a weak division, and now Dak's not in it. They're going to have plenty of opportunities to win. I don't think they have the urgency that Minnesota's going to have in this game, even though it's week two. I'm going to take the Vikings. I don't feel great about this one. I do like the over again in this game, though.
Going back to last year, everybody kills Kirk Cousins. They know, oh, he's terrible. Why they signed him to that much money. Last 18 games he's played, 35 touchdowns, 7 interceptions. So it's not like he is, like, you know, as awful as some of these people make him out to be. I've heard MVP chants for Kirk Cousins. Great game to tease this game up. You're going to give me 2 points, get it up through the 3 and the 7, up to 8. I would love to tease the Vikings here. I would take the points to the Vikings here. And I'm a big Philadelphia Eagles fan, and going forward, could win the Super Bowl. Could be, with Dallas, might be the number one seed in the NFC going into the playoffs because they have so many easy division games coming up. It would be something that Philadelphia needs this game pretty bad, but Minnesota's going to – I think Minnesota takes this one. I'll take those two, but definitely a good teaser game. So there you have it, ladies and gentlemen. We have gone over the entire – Week 2 slate in the NFL. Now it's time for our award-winning segment here on the Bottom Line.
We have one of those?
We do. We have an award-winning segment. Well, if you call award cash and tickets out in the desert. Our best bets of Week 2. Beer Man, I will let you start since the Bears are 1-0. We'll give you the honors. Your best bets for Week 2 at the window.
My heaviest bet this week is going to be on the Bengals over the Cowboys. It's just Burrow knocked off that rust. Burrow is great at throwing an interception, and a play later is not even aware of it. He has got the shortest memory in possibly all of football. I'm laying heavy on the Bengals and not worrying about the points that I got to give against Cooper Rush and the Dallas Cowboys.
That's your only best bet of the weekend.
Huh? I like New England a lot. You know, there's a handful, but, you know, you want me to go through all of them and let you know?
No, I just your best, the ones that you're like, I'd go to the window with a two fistful of $100 bills.
Like I said, this is the one that I've already put money down on because I was worried that the line was going to go even higher. I was going to get the best line that I could.
My best bet is that Brad's best bet is going to be New Orleans.
Because I told you that right before we started the show. That's why I said that.
Let's see. My best bet, I think it's kind of bold. I'm taking Tennessee and the 10 points at Buffalo.
I wouldn't go against that. I like that one a lot. I have three best bets. I'm taking the Dallas Cowboys against the Bengals. Mm. I'm going to Riverside you on this one there, Beer Man. I'm going to take those points against the Bengals.
We should have just had an internal bet then instead of going through.
That's all right. That's all right. We don't need any juice here. Let's just do the VIG here.
I'll take both of your $100 bills and pay you accordingly.
Exactly. In other words, never. That's exactly. I'm taking the Jets and Joe Flacco and hopefully Mike White against the Cleveland Browns, getting 5.5. And like Dennis ruined it all for everybody, I'm taking the Saints, home dogs, 2.5. Dallas, Jets, Saints, my best bets of the weekend. There you have it, ladies and gentlemen. The Bottom Line Sports Rocker Podcast.
I think before we wrap, we should recap last week's ESPN Sports Rocker Bottom Line League, where Beer Man gets the trophy for week one with a 10-7 record. Were you 10-7 or 10-6?
I'm trying to look it up quickly as I can.
Brad was in second place. I think you were 9-9.
I was 10-6.
Yeah, 10-6.
But I'm in the top 3% on ESPN. Brad was 9-7, and Dennis was 8-8.
There you go. Boom, boom, boom. We're off and running and ready for week number two, the Bottom Line Sports Rocker Podcast.
I don't get to brag the fact that two of us in this room made you money last week and somebody else did not make you money last week.
I mean, do you want me to tell you if I'm going to bet every week? I mean, I just thought we were going to talk about making bets.
Oh.
Do I have to make bets?
Well, no, that's the good thing about it, because I don't actually bet on all these games, but there are some that I do bet on. And I actually come out and text people, maybe before the game start, this is who I'm playing. And that's kind of the way I do
things. And I do it that way, too. And you noticed you didn't get a text from me this week.
Yeah, and Dennis did. He was like, hey, send me a text with your picks. And I sent it to him.
Yeah.
And then I never heard back from him.
That's because we had a disaster down the hall at Classic Rock 92.1 where the Bengals game was having technical difficulties.
By the way, I had a parlay. It was five teams. I had the Bears with the outright win. And honestly, I don't remember doing that. The only thing I lost on was the Jacksonville +3. And I had it until late in the fourth quarter. Yeah. That was $150 off five. I was like, damn it.
Oh, the tales of woe when it comes to parlays. I went 4-1. But I'm still a loser.
Still lost $5.
Thank you guys for rocking with us. It's week two in the NFL. Live from the horse capital of the world, Lexington, Kentucky, the LM Communications Studio. For Brad Taylor, for Beer Man, my name is Dead Air Dennis, and the Bottom Line Sports Rocker Podcast.
May I say my catchphrase?
Yes.
May I say my catchphrases?
Yes.
So until the next time, as always, suck it, Stivers. May the winners be yours.
Beer Man, you got anything you want to say?
Yes, Beer Man.
Thanks, buddies.